So good morning. So today's talk is entitled Smartphone Spiritual Practice. We were recently in China and our teacher, Adzompe Rinpoche, was acting a little bit in the way that we associate in the West with Zen masters. So at a certain point, he was saying, bondage is freedom and freedom is bondage. And I think those are very, very useful phrases to contemplate. Bondage is freedom and freedom is bondage. And I'll be talking perhaps about the first wing of that. Bondage is freedom. And the talk that I have will have three main parts. The first is about subjectivity. The second is about stance or view. And the third is about taking in and sending out, or Donglen. So there's an article in the Chronicle on the 20th of March entitled by Esther Cepeda named Pocket the Gadget and Try Talking for Once. And she quotes Meg Wheatley, a book called So Far From Home, Lost and Found in Our Brave New World from 2012. And she quotes, never before have we been aware of what's happening just about everywhere on the planet, and never before have we been engaged in instantaneous reactions with one another about everything from the trivial to the life-changing. Everything becomes a big dramatic deal, but only briefly. The media inflames our reactions, then drops coverage. Then she quotes Julio Ricardo Varela, co-host of In the Thick podcast. It's become something where I'm constantly picking up my phone. It's just kind of ridiculous to me how much I was doing it. So we all, I think, can relate to that. There may be some rare individual in the audience who isn't bound to their smartphone, but I have a friend who doesn't have one. But that's out of maybe 1,000 people I know closely or well. Most of us are bound to these things. And on subjectivity, you know, we read an article like this, and she's talking about giving up cell phones and movements to ban them or minimize smartphone usage. And so that's a doing. That's a kind of activity. And those of you who've been listening to me recently know that I talk about sort of doing and feeling, or feeling and doing. And most of us are pretty good about thinking about doing and making plans about our doing and our actions. But doing is all kind of objective speak. And ultimately, Buddhist practice is really oriented towards subjectivity. And the more we teach and the older we get, I'll speak for myself, but I think Anne is in agreement, the more we see how immersed we all are in this culture in a kind of objective lens. We talk about ourselves objectively. We think about ourselves objectively. We make judgments that are based on some kind of objective standard. I should be eating this, or I shouldn't be eating that. And we don't pay that much attention to ourselves, our own experience, our own feelings. Even people who may seem to be immersed in feelings often don't allow themselves to actually sink into a really deep acquaintanceship with feelings, but they may just sort of skip from feeling to feeling to feeling. A lot of people are very, very curious about how does one take Buddhist meditation into daily life. Cell phone's going to be a wonderful source of practice for us, a bondage that can be a freedom. I suspect that most of us have some habit of, you know, for me, it's I'm standing at the deli line in Whole Foods and it's boring standing in front of a case of cheese and cold cuts. Take out the phone and check my email. Don't even think about it. Fill up the space. So if we were just in objective land and we read an article like this and it says, you know, let's minimize our addiction to cell phone usage and smartphone usage, we might just decide, I'm not going to look at my phone. So I'd make a decision, I don't look. But we're really missing a wonderful opportunity. And it's an opportunity for practice in daily life, actual deep practice in daily life. And that practice involves sensing, what is it like when I want to reach my phone? What does that feel like? Can we actually get in touch with the impulse to go for the phone? What does it feel like in my chest, in my arms, in my legs? Now, granted that when I talk like that to a lot of people, they just will zone out. They have no idea. What the heck are you talking about? I don't feel anything. I just want to go for my phone. Well, that's an issue, and that's an issue that we work with slowly. And in a way, the practice we do here on Sunday morning of observing our breathing can be of assistance in becoming more and more aware of what's going on, not only with our breathing, but in our body and our minds. If we become attentive to any type of experience, we become attentive to pretty much all experience. So what we'll be doing between 11 and 12 is exceedingly helpful for the process of becoming sensitive to what does it feel like when we want to answer our smartphone, or when we have an impulse to check our messages, to check Facebook, to check whatever it is, Huffington Post, whatever it is we're addicted to, Fox News. And so you realize you want to, you're almost going for the phone. Can you look at what does it feel like in body and mind to go for the phone? I have a couple of acronyms for mindfulness practice. I think I'm up to, at this point, WISER FACT. But what is WISER? WISER is, first of all, W is wonder. And so it's just to wonder, like, what am I feeling as I want to go for this phone? And you might notice, if you are going to slow yourself down, that you don't want to. We kind of like to be unaware and kind of asleep. We don't exactly want to wake up. So even taking on the practice of just, I'm going to observe what it's like going from my phone, you might feel some resistance. 1965 would be, what, about 50 years ago, 52 years ago? I was studying with a disciple of Gurdjieff. Some of you may know the name Gurdjieff. His name was Mr. Nyland. He was Gurdjieff's personal secretary. And my cousin Esther would go with me. And he gave us a homework assignment. We had to call one another. And the simple exercise was to call one another and ask if we were aware. Well, it's a little bit complicated because we had one phone in the house at the time, and it was located in the center of the house. I had to pull the phone and go into the bathroom if I wanted privacy. I don't know if any of you had such experiences in the old days. I had to pull the phone, go into the bathroom, call up my cousin Esther and say, are you aware? And she would ask me the same thing. This is essentially the same practice that I'm suggesting. Can you be aware when you have this impulse to pick up a phone? So can you have the wonder? Now you might find and you might feel that, well, this isn't, you know, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and I expect when I meditate to have bells, whistles, music, chamber orchestra, uplift, and like amazing experiences. Well, really mindful awareness is something that's very, very even, clear, balanced, unprejudiced, precise, light. And so next to Coney Island and Times Square, it might feel a little bit low level. You know, we're all a little bit addicted to manic states. It's kind of our culture. Zippity-doo-dah. And if it's just like observe what it feels like to go for your cell phone, how does that compare to looking at some wild and woolly Facebook tweet that's like the most amazingly beautiful picture you ever saw in your whole life, or somebody's got an image of some three-year-old playing the violin like Beethoven? I mean, you know, that's charges us up. But like, I'm feeling this kind of tug in my arm to go for my cell phone. It's a pretty low-level experience. But it's a movement from unconsciousness to consciousness, from unawareness to awareness, from bondage to freedom. So wiser fact, Y, W is wonder, I is immediacy. Can we really be in the immediacy of our experience? That would include we might have thoughts, we might have a voice saying, I want to get my damn phone, screw Harvey. Screw those suggestions for mindfulness practice. I'm really interested in this phone. Great. Can you give yourself a moment just to sort of even notice that? How great that is. Because having that capacity, when you want to say that kind of thing to your spouse or your boss, it might be very, very wonderful for you to have that pause that allows you to realize, well, I just wanted to tell my boss or my spouse some really nasty things, but I held my fire. Might have been a good decision. But if we don't have a kind of immediate ability to be aware of ourselves, it's hard. So wonder, immediacy, space. Can we just hold what our experience is in space? Just a spacious acceptance, which is the E of equanimity, just even acceptance. And then R is for reverence, wiser. You know, can we really have a reverential attitude towards ourselves? We're moving into a number of years when we will be doing some teachings on what's called Buddha nature and Buddhist tradition. The idea is that we're all innately and naturally Buddhas already. Obviously, we don't feel that or experience that. Wonder, immediacy, space, equanimity, and reverence. So we have Buddha nature. You know, really, really, probably one of the deepest issues we all struggle with in spiritual life and just being humans in the modern West is self-hatred and self-denigration. It's not going to be the case. I'm not kind of selling this as snake oil that, you know, realize you have Buddha nature and treat yourself well. I mean, it's a nice kind of consideration. It's a valuable contemplation. And slowly we may want to marinate with that kind of perspective that, you know, we have a truly amazing inner quality that is not accessed yet. But we and all other beings have this divine capacity, and they and we are due for reverence, ultimately. The Abrahamic traditions, we are all children of God. In the Buddhist tradition, we all have Buddha nature. So, you know, I'm always, when I'm talking with students, kind of setting off an alarm when people diss themselves kind of automatically. Whether it's, I know I'm stupid, or I know I'm inferior, I know I'm terrible at this, or I know I'm a jerk, or this is a terrible question. And we all do this. And the point isn't to beat ourselves up for our self-denigration. We're just to note it, again, with wiser, wonder, immediacy, space, equanimity, reverence. Ronald Reagan is useful at this point. There I go again, beating myself up. But the point is, we're going to be noticing, what does it feel like to want to go for my smartphone? Really, really, what in my body, what in my mind, what does that feel like? And that can be a wonderful few moments of practice. We don't have to subscribe yay or nay to smartphone abstinence program. That's really, in a way, not the issue. That might be something you want to take up, fine. Maybe something you don't want to take up. Maybe something you want to contemplate, your usage of your phone. But the smartphone provides us a wonderful opportunity to really contemplate who we are, what is happening, to be in touch with our subjectivity. And so if it's difficult or disquieting, or it doesn't seem to come well, so just to backtrack for 1 second, so that wiser is our stance, it's our view, it's how we orient ourselves to our practice. Very, very important. And if you could have that stance and that view of practice, that's practice in the beginning, that's practice in the middle, and that's practice in the end. In a way, it doesn't matter what the content of what you're observing is. If you have wonder, if you have immediacy, if you have space and equanimity and reverence, you're in the practice. The content of our body and our mind and our feelings will change. So that's the view or the stance. Backing up, it's important to be subjectively aware of what's going on in our body and mind. So it's subjectivity, the stance, and then taking in and sending out. In Mahayana Buddhism, in a Tibetan version of it at least, is a very important practice of taking in and sending out. So let's say it was difficult to do this practice, and you feel into that, or it's just you have difficult feelings around wanting to go to your cell phone. It's really kind of painful and irritating. You know, you realize it's kind of a gross and heavy feeling. Great. If you're aware of that and you wish to tie it into another frame of practice, whatever difficulty I have or whatever discomfort I might be feeling with respect to wanting to go for my cell phone. I mean, it seems ridiculous, but it's real. Whatever discomfort I have in really feeling this urge to go for my cell phone, may I take on the discomfort of all sentient beings? May I take on the discomfort of all sentient beings? And we do that by inhaling a dark, smoky quality from all sentient beings. And we bring it into ourselves and into our heart, and in our heart we have a spaciousness that allows everything to dissolve. We allow all that discomfort to dissolve. Not we're holding on to other people's discomfort and becoming miserable ourselves. We dissolve it into the space of our deepest heart. So this feels uncomfortable to me. May I take on the discomfort of all sentient beings? You can do that, if you like, just by doing a few breaths. If you notice as you're mindful of this urge to pull your smartphone, that you end up feeling kind of spacious and open and relaxed, you can have the aspiration, may others all feel this openness and spaciousness and relaxedness. And so we breathe out light and love and wonderful qualities. We breathe out love and kindness. And so if we're feeling good, we can just breathe out a few times light and love to others. Or if we like, we take in the discomfort of others and we breathe out love and kindness. We take in the discomfort, kind of a smoky, dark presence, dissolve it into the deepest spaciousness of our heart and breathe out love and kindness to others. So, you know, we're just starting with a $250 device. We want to look might be more for all I know. We feel the urge to look at it, Lord knows where. We notice that as an opportunity to become mindful of ourselves. We feel what it feels like to want to go for that smartphone, and we're with ourselves. We give that some time. At the end of that, if we wish, if it's been discomfortable or uncomfortable, we can do a practice of taking on the uncomfortability of other beings. We still want to breathe out some light and comfort to others and ourselves. Or if it's been really a very sweet experience, we can still take on the discomfort of others, and we breathe out light and comfort to others.
If you enjoyed this teaching, please visit our website, donmountain.org, to subscribe to this course and find other great Dharma offerings. May all beings always have happiness in its causes. May all beings always be free of pain in its causes.